very bad. But as long as the devotee remains engaged in devotional service, then sadhur eva. The devotee is definitely a saint. I won't go into the whole thing, but there's a very interesting discussion by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita on this very point. That on behalf of Arjuna, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is suggesting that this is not possible. How could a person be a saint if they're doing sudur achar, abominable activity? And he even suggests things like mass murder, things which are extremely bad, not just, you know, smoking a cigarette every now and then or something, but something extremely bad. But as long as they remain a devotee, Krishna says, they must be considered saintly. Now, if you are, we just gave the example of Vishwamitra. All that happened was he heard the ankle bells and he fell down. But a devotee, even if they do something extremely bad, but at least if they remain engaged in devotional service wholeheartedly, this is not trying to give us an excuse to be nonsenses, but if they actually then try to recover their position and very sincerely absorb themselves in devotional service, then Krishna says, sadhur eva, they're definitely saintly, and you must not think of them in any other way. If you do, it's an offense. Now, if you are a karmi, or a jnani, or like Vishwamitra, even a yogi, but particularly a karmi, and if you do some sudur achar, something which is extremely bad, then what happens to you? You go to hell. You go to hell. But if you're a devotee and you do sudur achar, and you remain wholeheartedly engaged in devotional service, what happens to you? You're a saint. So just see. There's hope. Yes.
In terms of accident recall, what is some prevailing tips? Some simple.
Yes. But still, if they try to recover themselves. Yeah. But if they just then go away and just become like very half-hearted devotees or quarter-hearted devotees, practically not involved, but maybe a little bit here and there, then this doesn't apply. Krishna says, Vajate mam ananya bhak. Ananya means no other. Ananya, no other. As long as they remain Vajate mam ananya, undeviatingly engaged in devotional service, then sadhureva. So just see what bhakti is like. It's quite astonishing. Then the last one, expertise. This is an interesting one. Actually, I got these. Anyway, this is page 5 also, but back up towards the top. There's a verse quoted, mantra hina swarato varanato va, and so on. If a mantra is either intoned or pronounced incorrectly, not only will the mantra not have effect, but it may be harmful. As when Twasta wanted to create the enemy of Indra, and by a slight mispronunciation of the words Indra Shatru in the Yajna, these words worked as a thunderbolt for Vritrasura, who was killed by Indra. So, now here, this incident with Twasta, Indra, and Vritrasura, this is in the 6th canto. How many of you have read up to the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? Well, I'm sure a few of you have, you're just probably very humble. Anyway, there's a very elaborate story there of Chitraketu, how he gets cursed, how he becomes Vritrasura, then he fights with Indra, but then he's killed. So this yajna which is referred to here, what happened there was that Twasta, his son, was killed by Indra. It's all a bit of a long story, you can read it in the Bhagavatam. But anyway, his son was killed by Indra. So he wanted revenge. So he performed a yajna, like a strict Vedic Karmakandiya yajna. And the idea was to produce an entity from the yajna who would be able to, who would be Indra Shatru, meaning the enemy of Indra, meaning he could kill Indra, in fact. But he mispronounced. Instead of saying Indra Shatru, he said something like Indra Shatruhu, the sarga, the doubled syllable at the end. Which means that this person who will come from the yajna will be a person whose enemy is Indra. So it was one syllable in a what was probably a vast and complex Vedic yajna, which was otherwise performed perfectly. But one syllable. And Vritrasura was produced, and he looked like he could kill Indra, but he couldn't. He almost killed Indra, but Indra was able to kill him. So, just see. But Lord Chaitanya says, with chanting the holy names, you know about in class rules, any name, any time. You may be in any condition. You may not even have faith. Like that. And still there'll be so much benefit. So bhakti is so much better than karma, or gyan, or yoga. Like that. Now this doesn't mean, like we say, it doesn't mean that you can just be sloppy in your Krishna consciousness and think, well, it's such a great process, it'll just carry me through. There are different types of japa. You know those types of japa. Don't you? You know those types of japa? Jibba japa? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How are you doing, Prabhu? Oh, what's happening today? That's jibba japa. Was that jabba jabba? Anyway, there's another one. Well, there's machine gun jabba. I probably shouldn't be demonstrating. Then there's radar jabba. And if you try your very best, just consider how powerful the process is, how fast you're going to advance. It can be meteoric. You can become fully Krishna conscious in an instant if you want. So, well, that's about it, I think, really, for chapter one. I was going to do chapter two, but time has gone on. So, look, any questions? Comments? Okay, so now we're sending you some homework. So watch out. Read chapter 2. And read chapter 3. Well, at least read chapter 2. If you've got the time, read chapter 3. But at least read chapter 2. And I think you'll find it a very enlightening discussion tonight. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Right, so things are warming up. On top of that, it's Hanuman Jayanti. And various other things. What is it? Oh, it's Balaram's Rasa Yatra. Balaram's Rasa Yatra. The anniversary of Lord Balaram's Rasa Dance, which is recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. It's, what is it? Krishna's Vasant Rasa, yes. Lord Krishna performed different rasa dances. the one which is described in the 10th canto in the Krishna books. That is Krishna's, what is it? Autumn rasa dance during Kartik, or October time, basically. But this is another one, Krishna's spring rasa dance. Then what else is it? Vamsivadhan Thakur's appearance day. Vamsivadhan Thakur is one of the close associates of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip. He's a very interesting devotee. He is an incarnation of Krishna's flute, would you believe, as a person. Because everything in the spiritual world is personal. Nothing is impersonal. So Krishna's flute is not just some sort of metal thing with holes in it, you know, like that, or a little stick of bamboo with holes in it. Not like that. Even though it superficially may appear like that, but actually that flute is a person. Fully, complete person, pure devotee. So that flute appeared as Vamsivadhan Thakur. And he was a close associate of Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi in Navadvip. And it's also the appearance day of Shamananda Pandit, who is one of the followers of the six Goswamis, basically. He and Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya, in the generation after the six Goswamis, they became the leaders of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Those three together, they were a team. They formed the first traveling Sankirtan team, traveling book distribution team. We'll tell you that story some other time. And what else is it? Something else, isn't it? Or is that it? No, we mentioned Hanuman Jayanti. But we don't worry about the jandas. That's okay, we don't need to do that. Anyway, so it's a very nice day, it's a very auspicious day. And here we all are, hearing and chanting about Krishna, so how could it be more auspicious? Okay, so now we're going to go on with our Madhurya Kadamani course. Yesterday we went through chapter 1. I'll just very briefly summarize what we discussed. We discussed that there are 9 stages in devotional service. In fact, we wrote them on the board again because we're going to be referring to them. So we'll keep them there. So we were talking mainly, though, yesterday about a person who is not on the scale. In other words, they're not a devotee, but then they may become a devotee, and we were discussing how such a person who's not a devotee at all may become a devotee. And we discussed, or Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur discussed a number of different options that might be considered, but then the conclusion which we came to was that a person becomes a devotee by the mercy of the Madhyam Adhikari devotees, who are of the nature of preachers. And even if a person is a Kanishta devotee or an Uttama devotee, they will generally only preach and give other people bhakti if they are accepting, to some extent, the mood of the Madhyam, despite them being either Uttamas or Kanishtas, generally. So, that we talked about. So a person, they receive bhakti then from such a devotee, a preacher. And we mentioned, in fact the example is going to come up in the discussion today, that when they get bhakti, it comes in a form like a seed. It's not developed, in other words. Just in a very rudimentary form, which then does develop. And as it develops, it goes through these stages. And the development is compared to the growth of a creeper. As it's getting a little bigger, it's sadhu sangha, as it's getting a little bigger again, then you can say bhajana kriya stage. A little bigger than anatha nivritti. And when it's finally fully developed and grown all the way out of the material world, penetrated through the coverings of the material world, and entered the spiritual world, and wrapped firmly around Krishna's lotus feet, that's prema. So this was an example given by Lord Chaitanya, actually, to illustrate how bhakti develops. But the type of person we were talking about yesterday and how they receive bhakti from a preacher, Madhumadikari, then they're getting bhakti, but it's in a seed stage. It's very unmanifest and it's not like very prominent initially. But it's there. It is there. So, now as a matter of interest, do we all have the further ongoing pages now? Or you distributed them? Oh, okay. Is anyone, they're actually, let's see, 29 pages. Does everyone have all those pages? Okay. So, anyone lacking one or any number of pages, Mrs. Pran, is it? What do you, who is that? Somebody. What do you need? Oh, the whole thing. Mrs. Pran needs the whole thing. So anyway, okay, so they're getting it together, but we'll just continue on in the meantime. All right, so here we are, we now have a person who has met devotees and they have received the seed of bhakti. That means they're on level number one here, Shraddha. So the seed, its presence, it's not a very prominent presence in the person. Like on a more advanced stage, the presence of bhakti is much more prominently noticeable. That they'll be very devotional, they'll always be engaged in devotional service. Or perhaps on the level of bhava, there are all sorts of very extraordinary emotional symptoms. But when bhakti is present only in that seed form, it's present, but its presence is not so much manifest. But it is a little manifest. So now how is it manifest? Well, the beginnings are that that person who was previously not a devotee will now have a little interest. Meaning when they meet a devotee again, instead of thinking nothing or like that, they'll feel, oh yes, good. This is a Hare Krishna devotee. A little attraction will be there. They may think, oh yes, I got this book, let me read it. So in these ways, they may manifest a little attraction to Krishna consciousness. That I met the Hare Krishna devotees, let me go and visit the temple. Previously they weren't thinking like that because they weren't devotees. They had no real interest. But now they're thinking, oh yes, Krishna consciousness, there's something there. So this is the symptom, the initial symptom, that the seed of bhakti is within the heart. A little interest, which actually translates to mean a little faith. Because if they're thinking that, oh yes, Hare Krishna is alright, let me go visit the temple, which is not a big thing to do, but it's better than having no interest. So if they're thinking, let me go visit the temple, if they have a little interest like that, it means they have a little faith. Because if they didn't have some faith, then why would they take the time out to go and visit the temple? They could go to the beach or watch TV or do something else. But now they're thinking, let me go visit the temple. So that interest is a manifestation of a little faith. You follow the idea? Yeah. So then, particularly when they come to that point, that they're thinking, let me go visit these people and just find out a bit more. So faith is now leading to the next stage, sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha. So basically what we're going to discuss today is about sadhu sangha and how sadhu sangha, because when they're associating with devotees and discussing and finding out more and they're attending the arati and all these different things, then their interest becomes increased. And then they'll come to the third stage, Vajna Kriya. Kriya means action. And bhajan, of course, means devotional service. So, bhajana kriya means they come to the point of wanting to do some action to get into devotional service. So in these ways, these three stages are kind of interleading. One leads on to the next, and then the next. So it's basically sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya we're going to discuss. And if we can, we'll discuss also bhavanavritti. So, let's get into it. All right. So we're going to go into chapter 2 now, page 6, and going on to page 7 and onwards, 7, 8, 9, and even on to 10. So the person now, they have the seed of bhakti, and it's manifesting in the form of a little interest. What is Krishna consciousness? Let me just see about it, let me read the book and find out about it. So then we go on to associate with devotees, and they become a little inspired in the association of devotees. So they think, let me try it. Let me try this Krishna consciousness out. Give it a try and see what happens. So this development is described on page 7. A little bit. Top of page 7. So the seed is now growing a little, and the creeper is manifesting a little bit. And in the top paragraph, he says, as a sprouting creeper grows upwards, or as this creeper grows upwards, it unfurls two leaves. So this is a way of saying that there are two particular effects which manifest in the life of a devotee. So they are kleshagni and shubhada. Kleshagni and shubhada. So it's quite easy to understand this point. Two qualities appear. One is kleshagni, it means the distresses, problems, disturbances like that. That becomes reduced. And shubhada, auspiciousness, nice things increase. So as a person is beginning to get into devotional service, associating with devotees, and maybe trying it out a bit, trying a little chanting, taking a set of beads, like this, on this sort of level, then these effects will start. And then actually as they really get into it more seriously, then they'll develop more clearly. He does in the next paragraph talk about two types. So in other words, the person is now getting into the practice of devotional service, or sadhana bhakti. Sadhana meaning practice. Just like if you're learning to drive a motor car, you have to practice. And it's understood you won't be very good, but still you just have to practice and then gradually you learn. So this person who's getting into devotional service, bit by bit, is now practicing, learning, and becoming a little accomplished, but just in the beginning stage. So he, in the next paragraph, the second paragraph, he talks about two types of sadhana bhakti. And we're not going to really discuss them because it's a whole deep discussion. But one is practice of devotional service according to rules and regulations, which is basically what we're doing, more or less. And the other is, that's called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. The other is called Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, which is a very elevated subject. It's a practice of devotional service, but if you look right about the middle of this paragraph, he says that Raga Bhakti is in a superior position due to the presence of a spontaneous greed for the Lord. Now, why is that greed there? Because one has some genuine affection for the Lord in a particular relationship.
And then it mentions, Ye Vam, it's actually Ye Shan, Aham Priya Atma Sutascha. Sutta means son. That he's appreciating, the devotee is appreciating the Lord as being his or her own son. And they have an attraction to the Lord in that type of mood, that the Lord is my son. Now, this doesn't mean that we should, or we could just imagine, maybe Krishna's my son, and let me practice devotional service as if he was. In order for that type of perception to be there, or attitude that the Lord may be my son, or my friend, or my lover, or my master, in terms of a direct personal relationship, it actually means that there has to be a perception of what one's eternal rasa is with Krishna. You can't just imagine, well, like a mother, a lady might feel that, well, what sort of relationship would I like to have with Krishna? So ladies like children. And they might think, well, let me think that Krishna's my son. And a young man might think that, let me think that Krishna's my friend and we can play. Or a young boy might think like that. So it's not a matter of imagining a relationship and then practicing, but it depends on a perception of what one's eternal relationship is. So it's a very high form of practice of devotional service. Anyway, he does discuss it here. And he says that the mood of spontaneous attraction to a relationship with the Lord produces like a stronger attraction for Krishna consciousness, and one may advance faster than if you're just following rules and regulations. But still, if you're not on that level to have some perception of your eternal relationship, then just go through the rules and regulations anyway. And then he does say, at the bottom of the same paragraph, that even though it's a fact that this Raga Bhakti or Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is more powerful, but still both Raga and Vaidhi Bhakti equally manifest these beneficial symptoms of Kleshagni, destruction of undesirable things, and Shubhada, creation of very nice qualities within oneself. Then he goes on to explain what are the Kleshas, this is the next paragraph down. Starting with, you see the fourth line in the third paragraph says vidya, ignorance. Now, does vidya mean ignorance? No. So there's a spelling mistake. You could put an A in at the beginning there. Avidya. Ignorance is avidya. Vidya means knowledge. So these five then, avidya, ignorance, asmita, to identify with the body, false ego, rag in the sense of attractions or sense gratification, dvesha, hatred, and abhinivesh, the tendency to become absorbed in bodily existence. These are the five parts of klesha, or distress, which are destroyed under the heading of klesha agni. Now, for our test, if we ever have it, I should have said that. We will require you to know these, or because it will be an open book test, we will require you to know where to find them. I'm sure you can do that. You'd have to be pretty silly to not be able to do that. Actually, today we're going to discuss some very, very interesting things which are very relevant to us. And this is the beginnings of it. There are five features to our entanglement, basically. We are ignorant, we identify with the body, we are attached, we hate those things which interfere with our sense gratification, and we're just absorbed in the general bodily way of life. So these are the five features of klesha. And as a person begins to make a little advancement, in other words, the seed is now growing, the creeper is coming a bit, sadhu, sangha, bhajana, kriya, engaging in devotional activities, then these two effects will manifest. Your distresses will be reduced, and good qualities will develop, as is shown in the next paragraph. So as both types of bhakti eradicate klesha. Similarly, they bestow auspiciousness. And here he gives a list of nice qualities. Disinterest in material affairs, interest in Krishna, service attitude, mercy, forgiveness. So these are the parts of Shubhada, that these nice qualities